If just thinking about your bills makes you feel confused and disorientated, like your head is full of raspberry jelly, then you need Monzo. Download your new favorite bank and pay bills from custom pots. Money never felt like Monzo. UK residents, T's and C's apply.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about Vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
Give me that old time screaming and shouting. Go up, tell it on the mountain. Faith is strong to be left out and way of trying God.
There it is.
I don't need the pills you take just to feel the spirit moving. Brother, I ain't slept in days all without drugs using. Let me
fall. Oh boy. That's good stuff right there. That's new Tyler Childers from the album Can I Take My Hounds to Heaven? Man. Makes me want to get right with the Lord. Makes me want to rededicate my life to Christ. Growing up in church, something people would do every now and then. So and so rededicated their life. Well, how about that? Oh boy, what's going on, patrons? How y'all today? How y'all doing? We'll keep a little bit of that Tyler Childers going there. Yeah, that's a doozy. Can I Take My Hounds to Heaven? 3 LP. I got the vinyl. 3 LP. I guess only about 8 songs, but he's got 3 different versions. He's got the first one's what? The Hallelujah version. And then he does the same songs again, the Jubilee version. Am I doing that right? Hallelujah, Jubilee. And there's one more. Just look at the darn thing here. Anyway, kind of like remixes, if you will. And, yeah, you got the Hallelujah version. So he does about 8 songs there. Then he's got the same songs done in the Jubilee version. And then he does them again in the Joyful Noise version. The Joyful Noise version, a lot of production, kind of... Man, I don't want to say like ambient beats for hillbillies, but it's, yeah, it's a lot of production, a lot of sound bites, a la The Gravy Boat. But, yeah, kind of a funky produced instrumental version is the Joyful Noise version. And then the other two, like I said, the Hallelujah and the Jubilee. I guess maybe the Hallelujah is a little more, maybe the Hallelujah versions are a little more gospel like this. Then the Jubilee is a little more traditional country. And then the Joyful Noise version's kind of funk production. A lot of some horns, some beats. Some horns and beats. Sounds like a terrible salad. But yeah, dig it. If you like Tyler Childers, yeah, it's so good. And definitely... not a different direction, but definitely, I don't even, fuck, who wants to hear someone describe music? But, definitely not phoning it in. Mixing it up, doing all kinds of cool stuff on this one, so. Good times indeed. I'm just lost all over the place today.
Oh, this is your Boogie Monster Patreon bonus Q&A, by the way. It's me, Dave, flying solo today. Usually Kyle and I do these together, but Kyle's in Hawaii. So it would be nice if we could do that, but we can't because Kyle's in Hawaii. What a good excuse not to do that. Sorry, I'm going to be in Hawaii that week. I already want to go back. We had such a blast in the summer. And Maui, where's he? He went to Honolulu, then he's Oahu? Is that the big one? I think he's going to the big one. Well, he went, I know, he's hitting two different islands. I always forget which one. Honolulu. I sound like my mom. David and them going over to Honolulu. He was there for a show, and then he went over to, I think it's Oahu. But what the hell do I know? Anyway, patrons, how are you? You doing okay? I'm rambling. I'm leaving town for a month tomorrow. I'm packing as I'm recording this. It's Sunday. We're leaving Monday morning, about shoving off about 7 a.m. Taking the wife and the dog cross country. Start the, I always do that with my tours. Like the tour either starts or ends the furthest possible geographic location away from my home. I'm starting a tour in Bristol, Tennessee next weekend. And let's see off the top of my head if I can remember. After that, Greenville, Chattanooga, Memphis with Kyle, Nashville with Kyle, then St. Louis, back to Memphis for my own show, Birmingham, and then Atlanta. Yeah. We'll be in Atlanta for my special, October 20th. If you're in Atlanta, you want to come to that, please do. Please do. If your budget's tight, holler at me, I'll hook you up, put you on the guest list. But then we're going to stay in Atlanta for about 5 days and just kick it. Eat some biscuits. Gonna go to Eats, probably. Go to Homegrown. Go to Fox Brothers. Might check out Mary Mac's Tea Room. Might have to hit up Hattie B's. Might have to hit up Rodney Scott's. It's a great pod, Dave. Hey, tell us all the places you're going to eat at the, in a place that maybe a high percentage of us have not been to. But yeah, going to have fun. Going to have fun. Bringing the wife and the dog. Cross country. Usually I make that trip about 2.5 days, but we're gonna take about 4 or 5 days. We're going to take it slow. Little Charles is not the road dog, no pun intended, that I am. When I'm really, especially at the end of a tour, like whenever I'm done with that last show, if I drove, man, I'm ready to get home. I drove 1,200 miles one day. 1,000's always kind of like the milestone. The milestone? The goal? If I'm by myself, like, yeah, I can knock out 1,000 miles in one day. But no shit. No hype. No exaggeration. I did 1,200 miles one time. Just because I could. And that's, I don't even take trucker speed. So how about that? Imagine if I got a hold of some trucker speed. What kind of ground I could cover. But yeah, that's one thing. Not the one thing, but that is definitely something that being a road comic, I don't know if it just teaches you or just makes you accustomed to just long hauls. I remember being a kid and we would go, like if we were going to take like a 2-hour day trip to like Chattanooga, there'd be a couple of coolers involved. There'd be snacks, lunches, juice boxes, just for like a 4-hour round trip, not even 4-hour one direction. Just, we're gonna go up to Chattanooga or LJ. We'll pack a cooler and just remember what a like huge trek that seemed like. And now, seriously, when I'm by myself on tour, like now I don't try to do this on days that I have shows. Obviously, I don't want to drive. And plus, I route it that way purposely. I'm not going to have an 8 to 10 hour drive on a show day. But off days or leading up to or right after getting home, shit, 12 hours minimum. Minimum. I like to get up, shove off early, get on the road about 8, 9, and I'll drive till about 8 or 9 and then shut it down. But yeah, 12 hours minimum in a day. But yeah, one day, I mean, to do 1,200, that must have been like one of those 16, 17 hour days, whatever that math is. But yeah, no shit, 1,200 miles in one day. That's I'll never have a Netflix special, and I might never sell out a theater, but I drove 1,200 miles in one day. So that's something. There you go, Dave. What else is going on? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Three of them. Braves Mets this weekend. And again, I apologize for people that don't give a shit about the Braves or Atlanta stuff that I follow, but, you know, just humor me. Only pennant race that has not been decided yet. All the other five races have been decided. This one's going down to the wire. Mets have been in the lead literally every game of the season minus two or three. There's a couple times in the last few weeks where the Braves have tied them. I think there was a day, maybe two, where we had taken a one-game lead. But anyway, we've been chasing the damn Mets all season. As recent as what, maybe July, we were 10 and a half games out of first. This weekend, with six games left on the schedule, three with the Mets, three with the Marlins. Those first two against the Mets, we won. Oh, boy. And not only did we win, you got a victory over arguably the best pitcher on the planet, Jake DeGrom, and the other subject that might appear in that argument, who could definitely make a case for being, maybe not right now, but 5 years ago in his prime, best pitcher walking the face of the earth, Max Scherzer. Braves beat each of them in consecutive nights. What are the fucking odds? So, 1-2 out of the first three. The third game comes on in about an hour as I'm recording this. Sunday afternoon, very excited. Very excited. Braves have been playing great. Had a terrific meal this weekend. Oh my God, you've heard me speak of the Park's Finest Barbecue here in Los Angeles. Not to be confused with the best Korean barbecue maybe in the country, simply called Park's Barbecue. Park's Barbecue is Korean barbecue. The Park's Finest, which is just over in Echo Park. It's Texas-style barbecue with a Filipino twist. Got some of those Filipino flavors. Oh, boy. They do a smoked beef short rib. In the running for the best smoked meat in the city. And you know how I feel about my beloved Moose Craft. Number one barbecue in Los Angeles. And you got Heritage Barbecue, maybe the best barbecue in the country, down in Orange County, San Juan Capistrano. Anyway, this beef short rib at the Park's Finest in Echo Park can compete with anything either one of those other two spots are doing. It is so damn good. Just knee-buckling tasty. I don't know what they're doing to it over there, but man. Beef short rib. Then they got this dish, coconut beef. Oh my God, the coconut beef. It's kind of a it's kind of a coconut Filipino curry, if you will. That they take, I guess, maybe like chuck roast. One of those roast cuts of beef. And I don't know if they chop it up first and then roast they probably just roast the whole thing in the oven and then they cube it in little cubes and then incorporate it into this that coconut, like I said, kind of a Filipino coconut curry, if you will. And Oh boy, you get that with a little white rice, a little steamed rice, with all that, basically like coconut, beef coconut gravy. Imagine that. I know that might sound weird if you haven't eaten a lot of stuff with coconut milk and whatnot in it, but the way, I mean, it's just flavor town. It's a wise man once said it's a one-way ticket to flavor town. But yeah, if you're ever in Los Angeles, you've got to check out the park's finest. And by the way, it's not a paid endorsement. I don't know why I took offense to the person who said that it sounded like I was giving a paid endorsement when I was singing the praises of Heritage Barbecue, and I was not. That's just me speaking from my heart, bro. Okay? Same as now. If we had a paid endorsement with one of these restaurants that I love so much, I wouldn't shut the fuck up about that fact. So I would definitely let you know when I'm endorsing something like that I truly have a passion for. But no, this is just me spreading the good word. You got to check out the Park's Finest Barbecue. The beef short rib, oh my God, the coconut beef, and they got all kinds of other great stuff. They got rib tips, they got smoked chicken, they have elote. Oh boy. I mean, it's insane. So I had that going on the other day. What else? Made some carrot ginger soup for my wife. I used to love, Katie and I always joked about that Seinfeld where he's pretending to be married to Courtney Cox's character. He's like, oh, that's just fun to say. My wife has an inner ear infection. But my wife had oral surgery. Katie's had 2 or 3 oral surgeries like in the last month. Just like an old car we're trying to refurbish. But yeah, so she's been on pretty much a liquid diet all month. So I made some carrot ginger soup. Oh boy. I think we did a video, Dave's Kitchen video on this a few years ago. But just to refresh your memory, if you're looking for some sort of autumnal dish, it's that time of year. Nice fall dish, this carrot ginger soup. Let's see, I don't have my notes in front of me, but off the top of my head, let's get 8 big old carrots. Let's get a big old knob of ginger. Let's get maybe 3 or 4 cloves of garlic. Let's get 1 whole white or yellow, preferably yellow sweet onion. Let's get about a half a cup of heavy cream. Let's get a couple dollops of sour cream. Let's get, let's get some chicken stock or ginger ale. You can do chicken stock or ginger ale. I did chicken stock on this one simply because I'm trying to watch the sugar. But if you don't care about your sugar, get you about 30 ounces of ginger ale. Get you a little salt, a little pepper, a little smoked paprika. Get you some fresh rosemary, maybe some fresh thyme. Oh boy, here's what we do. All right. Peel and rough chop those carrots. Throw them in a big stock pot or Dutch oven. Peel and chop that ginger till you get about, what do we need? I'm trying to think how much ginger we need. Maybe half a cup. Depends on how much ginger you like. Oh, yeah, get you some celery. Get you a couple stalks of celery. Chop that. Throw it in the pot. Peel and chop that ginger, like I said, about a quarter of a cup. Throw that in the pot. Rough chop that onion. Throw it in the pot. Throw all the shit in the pot, right? All the veggies that I just mentioned. Add just a little bit of water to it. You know, just a few ounces. And cover that shit and cook it over medium heat for about 30, 45 minutes. Just trying to get softened up. Give it a good stir every now and then. Nothing sticking and burning to the bottom. Just soften that shit up. 30, 45 minutes over medium heat. Once it gets nice and it doesn't have to be super soft, but, you know, put a dent in it, you know, get it loosened up. Throw all that shit in a blender. Blend it up real nice. Puree, nice and smooth. Throw it back in its original pot. Oh, yeah, rather than oil, I didn't even mention oil, get a little butter going before you throw all the veggies in. Get you about one stick of melted butter, get all that going, get it nice and buttery, then throw all your vegetables in, then cook them, cover them and cook for 30, 45 minutes. Puree it, blend it, smack it up, flip it, rub it down, throw it back in the pot. Then you want to add either your chicken stock or your ginger ale, about 30 ounces. If you're doing chicken stock, you can just throw in, you know, a couple cubes of bouillon, chicken base or whatever, add you some water. Throw in some of that fresh rosemary or thyme and or thyme. Add those spices, the salt, the pepper. You eyeball that. I can't remember what I did, but I know I did salt, pepper, smoked paprika. Well, I might have put a little of that Tony Chechery's in there. Got that rosemary. And then you just simmer that shit. Bring it up to a boil. Then you bring it back down to a simmer for about 2-3 hours. Oh, I forgot this part. When you're blending up all the vegetables and stuff, throw in the half cup of cream and a couple ounces of sour cream into the blender as well. Let it simmer 2 or 3 hours. You got you some delicious carrot ginger soup. How about that? How about that shit, huh? What do you think of that? The guy who's just always combative. Huh? You like that shit, don't you? Yeah, fuck off. What's that guy's problem? I'm rambling today. I feel like, I was going to say, I feel like it's the last day before vacation, but it's actually, I'm going to work. But that's the beauty of being a comedian, because sometimes work feels like vacation. But yeah, I'm leaving town, bolting, getting out of here. Be gone for about a whole month. We're going to do our best to keep everything on schedule, although we can't make any promises with Kyle and I both traveling. It's sometimes hard to... I know it's just, you're like, well, you just need 1 hour to do it, but even sometimes 1 hour, trying to find that same hour, especially when you're in different time zones, blah, blah, blah. But we're going to try our best to keep the schedule up every week. I know we've been kind of on a every other week for the last month, just because of all his traveling last month. But yeah, you get it. He gets it. All right, let's get into some of these cues that we did in a last month. Pull from that same batch. I think I was asking you guys about, you all about conspiracy theories. Which ones do you believe in? Which ones don't you believe in? Whatever else is on your mind. Thomas Ripley says, I think there's probably something to the birds aren't real conspiracy. Apparently ducks were invented in the 60s, and that's why their quacks don't echo. You ever actually seen birds? They just don't make sense. You ever seen a bird, man? Birds are crazy, man. That's a good one, Thomas. Thank you. I have actually seen birds. I've seen some birds, and I don't know what kind of sense they're supposed to make. I mean, most animals don't make sense to me. It's crazy how many weird animals. Aren't animals crazy? You guys ever seen an animal? I've heard something about this birds ain't real conspiracy. I haven't looked into it. It's kind of the... to me, it's on the same level as space ain't real. I've heard that one. Space ain't real and birds ain't real. Okay. I don't know why anybody... apparently, I can't tell if you're joking or not, Thomas. Apparently, ducks were invented in the 60s. That's why their quacks don't echo. I'll have to look into that. That's hilarious. But yeah, I don't know what any of this is based on. I mean, I see birds. Are they saying that the birds that we see are not actually birds? Are they aliens? Are they robots? Are they drones? What are they? Because I'm seeing something. Harvey sees them. Harvey loses his fucking shit every time. We got to where my office is, where I'm talking from now. I've got we're on the second floor, and I got this real pretty tree that just hovers right outside my window. There's always squirrels and birds and shit in there. Harvey just sits on my little weight bench so he can get a better vantage point out the window, and does that like clicking mouth click, that kind of like this weird predator fucking twitch that he does. He's a weirdo. I'll look into that, Thomas. If this is even remotely true, or, you know, that's hilarious and fascinating. Partly cloudy. What's a gross habit you have you're willing to talk about on the air? Oh, man, gross habit. What are some of my habits? Man, I don't know. I don't think this ever made it into any one of his specials, but one of the funniest fucking jokes Kyle ever did, and I only saw him do it a couple of times, but it was about 6-7 years ago, and he told me about it when it happened, and then later he did it on stage. But he said, I'll paraphrase. He was like, this is how lazy I am. The other day, I picked a booger out of my nose, and I didn't feel like getting up and getting a tissue, so I put it back in my nose. And he did this act out, like, right before he goes that final punchline, he, like, looks to his left, then looks to his right, like, see if anybody's watching him. So I put it back in my nose. That is funny. And he said that really happened. Could you imagine? Oh, my God. He picked a booger out of his nose. Didn't know what to do with it. Didn't want to wipe it on his couch. That was part of it. Like, yeah, I didn't want to wipe it anywhere, but I was too lazy to get up and get a tissue, so I put it back in my nose. I try not to be a nose picker. I mean, sometimes you got to get up in there and root around. I mean, I have a habit of, like, I've done this since I was, like, a kid, I think. Like, when I brush my teeth, I feel the need to, like hack up a loop. Not, a hawk? Yeah, hawk. H-A-U-C-K. I clear everything out by, like, basically hawking a couple of hearty loogies. And I can imagine that probably not fun to hear from the other room. But, you know, I feel like you gotta get in there and clean everything out. I used restraint not doing it right here into the microphone for you. But, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't know if this is gross. Yeah, I mean, I guess this is gross. I mean, like, it's not gross, like, sanitary-wise. But I'm sure it's gross for you to envision. We know about my proclivity for the hot water pressure on the old sack. That's I'm telling you, fellas, it's a good time. Just get in there, especially if you've got a detachable shower head that's got good pressure. And then you turn that heat way up. It's about as hot as you can stand it. Get a little action there on the old beanbag. There you go. I mean, I talk about that. It's pretty gross, I guess. So, yeah. What's going on? Tyler Sullivan. Hey, y'all. Just wanted to say I had a front row seat for Kyle at Helium in Philly a few months back, and I'm digging the new stuff. Ironically, best part of the show was unplanned when you didn't see the waitress right away, and I believed you called her a little munchkin ghost, and I don't think I've laughed that hard in a while. Dave, I'm going to catch you on your show as soon as it works out, schedules and locations, I promise. Right on. I was just in Philly, and I don't know if anybody was at that show. That was the worst show of the tour. It wasn't awful. It was just the crowd was fine. Like, no one was disruptive or anything, but they just scrunched everybody. They just crammed everybody together, like, right in the front section. And I don't know, I thought I bombed, and then Ryan was like, no, you did great. You got a bunch of laughs. But I couldn't hear any laughs. I don't know if it's the sound. I don't know what it was, or maybe I was just in my head. But that was the one show that run that Ryan and I did where I was like, I don't think that went very well. So who knows? But it happens sometimes, but not Philadelphia's fault. Beautiful town. I wish What's-His-Nuts was open. The roast pork sandwich. What's the... Denick's is the one I did go to, even though I went to the wrong one. What's the other one? Jim's, John's, Joe's. Went over there and they were on vacation. Oh, well.
Ian Bowers, I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but I think something shady is up with mattress stores. There's too many of them for how often people buy new beds. I've owned more cars in my life than mattresses. How do they all stay in business? Ian, that is a great point, buddy. Same. I've bought more cars than I have mattresses. Mattresses. Did I say mattresses? Mattresses. That seems odd, right? Car being such a, theoretically such a bigger purchase than a mattress. Although there are mattresses out there right now that cost more than certain cars I've owned. So who knows? Maybe they're on par with each other. But yeah, I see what you're saying, Ian. That's a good question. What's going on with all these damn mattress stores? Could they be fronts? Is that what you're suggesting? Ooh, little James Brown, hold on. Watch out now. There you go. He's upset. Get down with my woman. That ain't right. All right, sorry. Had to take a little James Brown break. You gotta do that sometimes. What was I about to say? Yeah. Okay, I gotta be careful with this. Well, no, I don't have to. Okay. You'll see what I'm talking about in a second. I used to live in Los Feliz in the neighborhood in Los Angeles. Well, my van used to be parked there. So, yeah, I lived there. but that's the neighborhood I spent the most time in when I was in the van. And all up and down Hillhurst in Los Feliz, there's these old flower shops, florist shops. There's like five or six of them, like within a block or two. And then you start spending enough time around there and you realize they're all owned by old Russian guys. And then you start to spend a little more time and you start to hear things about the Russian mafia. A lot of Russian mafia apparently in Los Angeles, in the Glendale area, maybe in the Los Feliz area. But I had heard a conspiracy. I don't know if this is a conspiracy theory or not, but maybe it's just neighborhood gossip. But I was talking to somebody else about it. They're like, oh, yeah, Russian mob is all up in Los Feliz, and a lot of those florists are covers for the mob. But also, and there's a lot of, I mean, Los Feliz, hard to explain. It's a nice neighborhood. It's kind of a youthful, kind of a hipster neighborhood, I would say. Probably 80% apartments, maybe 20% actual homes. But apparently, and there's almost no crime in Los Feliz. And apparently the rumor is that the longtime locals turn a blind eye to whatever the Russian mob are doing in the back of their flower shops in exchange for the Russian mob making sure no fuckery goes down in Los Feliz. Not a lot of crime in Los Feliz. A lot of crime in almost every other part of Los Angeles. So I think that's interesting. That and I don't necessarily disagree with it. I mean, I'm not pro-mafia, whether it be Russian or Irish or Italian or anybody. But if y'all just messing with each other and you're not messing with civilians and you're going to keep our neighborhood safe, then sure, go do whatever you do in your flower shop there. Yeah, so maybe the Russian mob's branching out into mattress stores too. Who knows, Ian? But that was a good one. Creamy Drippins, what do you guys think about Scrapple? I've had Scrapple, didn't mind it. Didn't love it, but I didn't mind it. And I get it. I get it. Anybody who eats any type of sausage, I don't see how you could have a problem with Scrapple. Just a slightly different form. Especially as much as I love sausage and boudin, all that stuff. Spam. I'll get up on some spam. But yeah, Scrapple. If you don't know Scrapple, what Creamy Drippins is talking about, Pennsylvania thing, right? Pretty sure it originated and is most prevalent in Pennsylvania. And it's kind of like Pennsylvania Spam. Yeah, the way I had it was kind of served,
I think it was sliced off of a loaf or a log, kind of like a hunk of Spam, kind of in a rectangle-ish shape, and then fried on the skillet, fried up on the griddle, like you would just a sausage patty or something. But yeah, not bad. And just, yeah, like all that stuff, just whatever you can imagine is in it is probably in it. But you know what? You got to eat some of that stuff sometimes. Don't waste any part of the animal. Just grind it all up, throw it in some scrapple. Quentin Scott, I wholeheartedly believe one conspiracy. It's one that changes the world, but I definitely think it's true. It's not one that changes the world, sorry. Disney released the movie Frozen so that people would stop talking about Walt Disney freezing himself. Now when you search Walt Disney Frozen on Google, you only get results about the movie and none about his frozen head. How about that? That's an interesting theory. I haven't seen Frozen. I have no idea what it's about. That's something I try to give a chance every now and then, but man, as an adult, I'm trying to think the last time I enjoyed a kid's movie. And I get it, like I especially get if you do have kids, you know, something you want to watch with them or whatever. But even folks that don't have kids, I get the appeal occasionally. You know, hey, I want something wholesome and something to take my mind off all the horrors of reality. But yeah, I try sometimes and I'm like, yeah, I'm good for about 10 minutes. And then I'm just like, this is not for me. Not to say that I hear great things about, is it Frozen? I guess I heard a lot about Up. Was that one? A lot of people talking about that. A lot of the Pixar stuff I know people love and I appreciate it, like, especially the Pixar, the technical end of it, the animation part of it. I totally respect that, but it's just hard for me to follow, or not follow, but to care about some of these stories when I know that they were meant for children. Because I'm a big grown man, and I ain't got time for that shit. But no, maybe I'll give one a shot again. But yeah, shit, I can't remember the last one that I actually completed. I mean, shit. Lion King? Toy Story? I don't know. I bet I haven't seen a full feature-length animated thing in 20 years, 30 years maybe, 25. But yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. Why would they care at this point, though, Quentin? Like, I could see in an alternate universe or timeline where maybe he froze his head and then they didn't want all the press about it, and then, you know, a year later they made a movie called Frozen for this purpose, but didn't he died like 50 years ago, right? Interesting nonetheless. What else? Yeah, but still, I grew up in the Pismo Beach area, and we had a legend about a ghostly little witch lady in the woods of Halcyon, California. You guys have any local legends in your hometown like that? We've talked about local legends in the past, and unfortunately I don't really have any coming from the Woodstock, Canton, Waleska, Georgia area. Spent the first 10 years, well, just a quick biography. Born in Nashville, moved to Woodstock, Georgia when I was 5. Lived in Woodstock till I was 12. Then we moved to Waleska. And I lived in Waleska and went to high school and middle school in Canton because there was no schools in Waleska. But all the North Georgia area. And the closest thing we had to a local legend, I think I talked about this years ago, was the Goat Man. Just this old homeless dude who had like a goat and buggy set up. I think he had about 2 or 3 goats, maybe 4 goats, and a little goat-drawn buggy / camper shell thing. And he was just a nomad. He just wandered around, and like, I remember, I don't think I ever saw him, but I know my mom saw him, my grandma saw him. I knew people that, it was kind of like, I don't know, kind of like this old hobo Santa Claus. Like, I never heard anything negative about him. I think he was, you know, friendly and, you know, he'd come around and talk to people and give kids candy and whatnot, who knows, but,
But yeah, that's, I don't think there's anything sinister or weird about him in terms of, a mystery or a thrilling local legend. But that's about the closest thing we had. I don't know what Kyle had up there in Addison, Illinois. I think he's told us a few weird things he's had. But yeah, nothing really sticks out. I'm unfamiliar with the witch lady in Halsey in California. I'll look into that, though. Right on. Spicy sweet chili Doritos. Does wealth make you funny? I don't think it can help. I don't think, just because you have success and wealth doesn't necessarily, if you were funny to begin with, but yeah, it doesn't help. No one wants to hear wealthy people's observations or complaints, but yeah. I'll let you know as soon as I get wealthy. I mean, you can be the judge. But yeah, who was it? Sinbad. Comics know that Sinbad used to have, he had a legendary quote, said, you stop being funny the moment you stop riding the bus. And just what he meant there was the moment you stop struggling and you get a little success, a little wealth, he thinks you stop being funny. But I think, there's plenty of examples. There's examples for both sides of the argument. But there's plenty of fun. I mean, Bill Burr's multimillionaire. Dude's still killing it. Still very funny. Louis C.K. I mean, I know, obviously, not a popular reference these days. I don't condone what he did. But as a comic, I'm also not going to forget or ignore the fact that he was one of the most talented comics of our generation. And I didn't see him slack off any after he got success in terms of the quality of his output. So I think there's examples of maybe people who did. Who knows? But yeah, I don't think it. I think it's something that, if we're being honest, all comics, I'm not shooting for wealth, but I'd be lying if I say I didn't want to be comfortable. But I also don't know who would make that deal with the devil of let me get wealthy, then you can take away my humor. I don't know. Good question, though, Spicy Sweet Chili Doritos. Zachariah, what are your favorite movie soundtracks or musical scores or both or neither? I'm not the boss of you. Thank you, Zachariah. Soundtracks off the top of my head. I love the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack. I love that old Southern mountain music, old timey music. What other soundtracks do I like? I mean, there's some obvious ones. Dazed and Confused had a great soundtrack, just with all those classic rock hits and stuff. As far as score, I do love The Shining. I've been looking for that on vinyl. You can't find it anywhere, and if you can, it's like $300. But I love that score in The Shining. Oh, there's a lot. I should have thought about this. Should have researched this one a little bit. But yeah, there's a lot of movies where I'm like, oh man, I love that score. Yeah, those are a couple that come to mind though. Speaking of which, I didn't realize till recently, No Country for Old Men, zero score, zero soundtrack, zero music. Now you know. John Marlett, not sure why, but I can't completely discount the theory that Stevie Wonder can see. I mean, I've seen those memes and whatnot, those video clips. There's one where somebody's guitar or something is falling. He's standing next to a person, and whatever the object is, for the sake of the example, let's say the guy's holding the cane, right? And then, he takes his hand off the cane, and the cane starts to fall on the ground, and Stevie Wonder catches it before it hits the ground. I don't know if that's real or altered, but I don't know how you could pull that hand-eye coordination off if you're blind. What else? There was one where he's taking a picture of somebody. I mean, obviously that could just be a gag. Like, sure, I'll take your picture. But yeah, I also don't know what's the scam there. Why would he fake that? Why would, you know, unless it's a gimmick novelty thing, like, hey, you know, can you believe I'm this talented and I also can't see? I don't know if anybody would go to those steps just for a gimmick. But, yeah, I don't know what's in it for Stevie Wonder for lying about that. Where are we at? Ryan Lawrence. Hey, fellas, since it's almost spooky season, here's a question I have. I recently went into Starbucks and ordered a spooky bitch special, where the barista covers his hand in cinnamon, nutmeg, and whipped cream, then punched me right in the fucking teeth. A little messy, sure, but for $13.50, you can't beat it, and it wakes you up faster than that pumpkin spice bullshit. My question, is this a regional thing? No, it's everywhere. Ryan, we have that out here. It's a little more expensive in L.A. It's like $15.25. But yeah, man. Oh, aren't you funny, Ryan? Cinnamon, nutmeg, and whipped cream. Punch me in the fucking teeth. I'm finally a Starbucks guy, by the way. I've gone on record saying I never cared about coffee, and I still don't really. But I found my drink. I think it's pretty low calorie and high potency. Now, coffee purists might think that this is an abomination. But I've been going with the triple espresso over ice, splash of whole milk. Seems fun enough. I used to do that with a splash of sweet cream. And man, that's delicious. But then it's like, well, there's no way this isn't filled with sugar. Even though it's just a splash, I'm trying to keep the sugar to a minimum. And so that's tasty, but not quite as tasty, but less calories and sugar, obviously, with the splash of whole milk. So yeah, man. That's how that's going. A little triple espresso action. Good one there, Ryan. What you call spooky bitch special? Yeah, I'll take the spooky bitch special. $13.50. Rat Tank, what's up, Rat Tank? Boy, that'd be a terrible place to be trapped in. Oh, Susie fell in the rat tank. Not a conspiracy, but what if men in black look so goddamn weird because they have to pull out all their body hair and constantly do extreme exfoliation and laser skin treatments so they can't leave behind DNA evidence? How about that, Rat Tank? Okay. Thought inspired while watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Take the work down a notch, ladies. Ugh, tell me about it. Kyle, are you excited about your first Oahu show in a while? It's my first U show. Yippee. That would have happened last week. So, yeah, hopefully you went to that show, Rat Tank, and hopefully you had a good time. I think I spoke to Kyle recently. He said the shows went well in Oahu. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, Real Housewives. Oh, God, Katie just cannot get enough Real Housewives. Just nonstop. And we're a modern couple. I in no way would ever try to tell her what to do or how to do anything, much less her appearance. My only request is please just don't get too much facial stuff. The duck lips and the stupid, it's all so bad. They look ridiculous. Now, obviously, there's good versions. And I guess what is the thing? If you can't tell, that means it's great work. Just assume, especially out here, any woman in her, let's say, 50 plus, any woman in Beverly Hills 50 plus, you could assume's probably had some work done. And I guess the ones where you can't tell anything, it's like, oh, that's great work. But just the duck lips and the just everything just so stretched and ugh. Some of them look like fucking Mr. Potato Head. Like, it literally looks like someone just plugged in a fake set of lips and just pulled out the nose, stuck in a different nose. Ugh, it's Someone looks so goofy. But hey, it's not for me to say. You know, I don't know what it's like to be an aging woman, so maybe I should shut the fuck up. Who knows? But they still look weird. That's a great conspiracy theory there. Okay. The men in black, they pull out all their hair so they don't leave behind DNA evidence. Could be. Man, there's something up with the hair. I've read too many different accounts of people who are like, yeah, the hair and the eyebrow, everything seemed fake. That great video on YouTube of the Niagara Falls Hotel. If you type in Men in Black Niagara Falls, you'll probably get a video. It's the loop of the security footage of the two tall, weird white guys walking in to the lobby of the hotel. And then there's the account by the manager. Talks about what happened that day. And yeah, in that one, they're like, yeah, the eyewitnesses were like, yeah, they look like they had wigs sewn into their hats. And they look like their eyebrows and everything were fake. So that's some weird shit. Man, I love that one. Men in Black. Are they, okay, so are they a secret government agency, a disinformation agency that's here to just simply quiet people who have seen certain things? That's more believable, that they're just that humans just working for the government. But so many people have reported saying that they just didn't look human. They looked, and not only did they not look human, they didn't act human. There's one account where they're fascinated by mundane things. This one guy had an encounter, and he had an ink pen, and the Men in Black was just fascinated by this guy's ink pen, like the way a baby would look at it and observe it. Like, what the hell? Like, he said some of their behavior was just not human. So, fascinating, Men in Black, but who knows? Jared Smith, what's the best fast food restaurant condiment? Like Arby's horsey sauce, cane sauce, etc. Okay. Huh. Chick-fil-A's honey roasted barbecue sauce is one of my faves. That's fantastic. I know this is going to sound weird. I've talked about this before. Traditionally, not a huge fan of ketchup. But if I'm sitting down in a McDonald's eating hot, fresh fries, McDonald's fries, I got to get some of their ketchup. Something about their ketchup and their soda, their Coca-Cola. Man, I know it's complete trash. But believe it or not, I've been doing really good the last few weeks. I've had almost no sugar. I've had zero fast food. Been eating a lot of meat. If you follow my gram, been eating a lot of barbecue. But I've been really trying to do keto. And stay away from sugar, stay away from potatoes, stay away from bread, that kind of stuff. And man, right about now, a nice visit to McDonald's. Some fries, some of that ketchup, get you a nice fountain Coca-Cola, maybe a quarter pounder. Mmm. I know it's trash, but every now and then, boy, does it hit the spot. Trying to think of others there, Jared. Not a big horsey sauce guy, not a horseradish guy. I'll eat it. I was talking about that delicious beef short rib over at the Park's Finest. They serve that with a little horseradish crema. It's good. It's for what it is. But and I know you're supposed to eat horseradish in small quantities, but yeah, small doses. But it's so strong. So yeah, not a big horsey sauce guy or Arby's sauce. What is the Arby's sauce? Just ketchup ketchup and barbecue? What would you think that is? It's definitely, there's a ketchup foundation there. Cane sauce is solid. I love any of that comeback sauce type stuff. The pink, basically, I guess that's kind of like an aioli. A lot of that pink sauce. I'm trying to think, who else has good condiments? I mean, I always try to get a couple packs of that Chick-fil-A honey roasted barbecue sauce. I dig that. The Chick-fil-A sauce. Just the actual Chick-fil-A sauce. That's solid. It's about the only thing I can think of right now. All right. Thank you, Jared. Alex Wynn, what's your single or current favorite bit or joke in all of comedy? I have a fairly easy time buying the whole chemtrails thing. Just kidding. That shit's dumb as fuck. Aliens, dude. Oh, man. So many jokes. I mean, there's just so many jokes that I love out there. Trying to come up with a favorite. Dan Mintz had a great joke. Where's Dan Mintz now? He's a voice on Bob's Burgers, right? I don't know which character. I don't watch the show, but I hear it's great. But he wrote on Lucky Louie. And, yeah, just a great writer, great joke writer. But he used to have a joke. I'm going to try to do it justice. I'll paraphrase it a little bit. But I'm not going to do Dan's delivery. He does, like, that real nerdy monotone delivery. But it was something like, kids today have it so easy when it comes to pornography. When I was a kid, all we had was the lingerie section of the Sears catalog. But now, with the internet, I can go online and go directly to Sears.com. Like, that's a funny joke. I don't know if I did it justice, but... You think he's going to say, get online and look at porn, but no, he's going to go to Sears.com and look at those brassieres. Love that joke. I love stupid jokes. I love well done dumb. That's usually what I'm striving for when I'm writing stuff. I want high-end dumb, well done dumb, if that makes sense. And here's a great example of that. My buddy Andy Sanford has a joke because I was watching the news the other day. I'll do Andy's delivery. I was watching the news the other day, and he said that the national deficit was $17 trillion. $17 trillion. That's more money than I make in a year. I love stupid shit like that. Let's see if there's any else that can... I mean, there's a Sarah Silverman joke. This is her joke. I'm just repeating it. I guess technically this is a racist joke, but in the spirit in which it's intended. She says something about, I'm getting a little older, and I feel like maybe my window's closing for having a baby. And I was talking to my doctor about it, and my doctor said the best time to have a baby is when you're a black teenager. I mean, that's pretty funny. I know there's race elements, but it's not racist in the sense that, hey, that race sucks. Look at how I'm always trying to justify. But do you see what I'm saying? Comedically, there's a difference. Like, it's just, they're fertile. That's a group that statistically is somewhat fertile, therefore aim the joke at them. It could be aimed at anybody, you know, who happens to produce a lot of children, but I just, structurally and comedically, that joke just crushes me. Oh, God, and apologies if I offended anyone. It's funny how much inappropriate content a comedian will overlook for the sake of a good joke and good timing. It's just comedically, it's a great joke. But yeah, I could sit there all day and talk about jokes that I like, Alex. But those are a couple off the top of my head. I mean, I got some street jokes I love. I won't bore you with all those, but I love a good street joke. All right, I'll tell you a street. Nah, I'll save those. A little self-indulgent, just me on here telling fucking street jokes. J.P. Rosentreter. Okay, better buddy movie, Stand By Me or Goonies? And why is the answer Stand By Me? Cheers, fellas. I like both those movies. Grew up on both those movies. Really enjoyed them. Both very similar in terms of tone. Like, kids movies that have, like, an undertone of like, a sinister component. You know, I mean, obviously The Dead Body and Stand By Me. And then just, I think there were some dead bodies in Goonies, right? When that family that they were running from, did we see them kill somebody or load a body into the back of the Jeep Cherokee? So, yeah, both those movies
right in my wheelhouse when I was a young lad. But fun fact, I don't talk about the showbiz shit very often, but my entertainment lawyer, Jeff Cohen, is Chunk from the Goonies. How about that? Kyle, too. He represents Kyle and myself in terms of anytime we have, not that I have a lot of that going on, but like contracts and whatnot. Jeff Cohen is my attorney, and he's the guy who played Chunk, the little chubby kid, Truffle Shuffle. How about that? Small world. Small world. But yeah, I like both those movies, but you like Stand By Me? I get that. Drew Brooks, hey fellas, here's a conspiracy for you. Because this Mercury capsule sunk to the bottom of the Atlantic, NASA intentionally set the Apollo 1 fire to keep astronaut Gus Grissom from potentially being the first man on the moon. Huh. Okay. Yeah, I hadn't heard that one. I mean, there's so many interesting conspiracy theories around NASA and the moon landing and all that stuff, but huh. I did not know that. I'll look into that, Drew. That's fascinating. That was the one last month somebody was talking about, the Russian dude. What's his name? The Russian guy who went to space first, but the theory that maybe he wasn't the first to go into space, only the first to return. That's fascinating. Pat Lamb, what's the beef between Todd Pott and Ryan Young? Please dish. I'm not allowed to... Kyle shared a little bit of that with me. That's none of my business. I don't know all the details. What's that? The Hoboken band, Todd Pott, and then Ryan Young with Off With Their Heads. Yeah, I'm not sure, man. That's not for me to speak on. I don't know what's going on. Ask Kyle about that. Pat also asked, who was the nicest musician either of you have had the chance to meet? Like, who blew you out of the water with how cool they were? That's a great question. I met so many musicians when I was doing radio for all those years. Did radio from 96 to 2001, so I met a lot of folks. A lot of bands I liked. I met Maynard from Tool. I met Trent Reznor. I interviewed Willie Nelson. That was exciting. I met Tori Amos. Who all did I meet? She was fine. She kind of in between, just me. And I get it. I get some of these musicians. You're on tour. You rarely have any free time, and then you got to go into a radio station and plug your shit. I get how some of them can be a little over it, but I haven't had any really bad encounters. I had one negative encounter. Sticks out as a real niche performer back when I was working at that Americana alt country station. Interviewed Richard Buckner. Anybody who knows? Great musician. I like a lot of his albums. Singer-songwriter. Could not have been a bigger fucking prick. He was such a prick. And on the air. And, you know, man, like I said, I get it. You might be tired. You might not be into this. But guess what? Like, I didn't set this shit up. Like, stations don't reach out to musicians and say, hey, will you come do an interview? Usually it's someone from the record label or their management team or PR team who sets that shit up to promote whatever they're doing, their show that night or their new album. But, man, he was such a prick. And I think I cut the interview short. And I was like, man, I can tell you don't want to be here. Let's just go ahead and wrap this up, man. You've done us enough favors. I think that's how I said it. You've done us enough favors. And, I ended the interview and I didn't like get aggro on him, but I was just like, all right, man, thanks for coming in. I think I said something like, sorry for whatever's bothering you today or something, but thanks for coming in. Like, we're done here. Fucking beat it. But yeah, he's the only one that really sticks out that was just a total prick. I'm trying to think who else. That's the only real negative one that I came across. As far as just who's super nice, Willie Nelson was very nice. Man, probably having Patterson Hood on the Boogie Monster, that live Boogie Monster we did back in Atlanta, what, 3 or 4 years ago. That was a thrill, because that's probably one of my top three musicians. But that was cool. He couldn't have been nicer, both off the air and on the air. I never listened back to it, but I'm assuming I remember it going pretty well. But yeah, that was fun. But yeah, I'm trying to think. Rhett Miller, old 97s. Those guys were great. Kyle was friends with Rhett. And
I started hanging out with him a few times, and then we had the Boogie Monster Christmas episode in Pioneer Town, Pappy and Harriet's, at the old 97 show, where I got way too high and ordered a whole rack of ribs on their tour bus, and they all seemed pretty cool with it. So, tip of the hat to the old 97s. Those guys were pretty cool. All right, we'll wrap this up. I'll get to the rest of these next month, hopefully. But, yeah, patrons, thanks for letting me ramble. As always, it's a pleasure. As always, we appreciate the hell out of you. We do not take it for granted. Your patronage is not expected, but it's very much appreciated. So, especially those of you who have been with us for a while. So the new ones, get in the back of the line in terms of gratitude. But no, welcome aboard any newcomers, but also thank you, day oneers. We appreciate that. But y'all have a good one. I'm going to go watch the Braves sweep the Mets, hopefully, and pack my bags for the road. So, yeah, like I said, we'll try our best to keep the schedule up to date in terms of, new episodes every Tuesday, but... don't hold me to it, but we're going to try. And come see a show if you're anywhere in the Southeast. I'll be in Bristol, Tennessee. I'll be in Greenville, South Carolina, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Memphis, Nashville, St. Louis, Memphis again, Birmingham, all wrapping up in Atlanta, October 20th at the Earl. It's a Thursday night. Love to see you out there, anybody in the Atlanta area. Love to pack that room, my first special. So, got to get my mind right, get into it. But, yeah, y'all be good. We'll see you soon. Thanks for everything.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Okay, thank you.